4. Frustration. Watercolor. By now you're probably confused. That's all right. So was I. The problem wasn't just my misunderstanding, though that was part of it, but also history, politics. The Aramaei and maybe the more powerful nobles and priests probably know all this. I'm just an ordinary woman with no connections or status, and no power beyond a walking stick that makes an excellent club in a pinch. I had to figure everything out the hard way. My education didn't help. Like most people, I was taught that there were 3 gods once, and then there was a war between them, which left 2. One of them wasn't actually a god anymore, though he was still very powerful. So really, that left just 1. And a great many godlings, but we never saw them. For most of my life, I was raised to believe that this state of affairs was ideal. Because who wants a bunch of gods to pray to when 1 will do? Then the godlings returned. Not just them, though. Suddenly, the priests began to say odd prayers and write new teaching poems into the public scrolls. Children learned new songs in the Whitehall schools. Where once the world's people had been required to offer their praises only to Brighty Tempest, now we were urged to honor 2 additional gods, a lord of deep shadows and someone called the Grey Lady. When people questioned this, the priest simply said, "The world has changed. We must change with it." You can imagine how well that went over. It wasn't as chaotic as it might have been, though. Brighty Tempest abhors disorder, after all, and the people who were most upset were the ones who had taken his tenets to heart. So quietly, peacefully, and in an orderly fashion, those people just stopped attending services at the White Halls. They kept their children at home for schooling, teaching them as best they could on their own. They stopped paying tithes, even though this had once meant prison or worse. They committed themselves to preserving the bright, even as the whole world seemed determined to turn a little darker. Everyone else held their breath, waiting for the slaughter to begin. The order answers to the Aramaei family, and the Aramaei do not tolerate disobedience. Yet no one was imprisoned. There were no disappearances of individuals or towns. Local priests visited parents, exhorting them to bring their children back to school for the children's sake, but when the parents refused, their children were not taken away. The order keepers issued an edict that everyone was to pay a basal tithe to cover public services. Those who didn't do this were punished, but for those people who chose not to tithe to the order, nothing. No one knew what to make of that, so there were other quiet rebellions, these more challenging to the bright. Everywhere, heretics started worshiping their gods openly. Some nation up in High North, I can't recall which one, declared that it would teach children its own language first, then Sennemite, instead of the other way around. There were even people who chose to worship no god at all, despite new ones appearing in shadow every day. And the Aramaei have done nothing. For centuries, millennia, the world has danced to a single flute. In some ways, this has been our most sacred and inviolable law. Thou shalt do whatever the hells the Aramaei say. For this to change? Well, that's more frightening to most of us than any shenanigans the gods might pull. It means the end of the bright, and none of us knows what will come after. So perhaps my confusion on a few points of metaphysical cosmology is understandable. I figured things out pretty quickly after that, thank goodness. When I turned back to the alley, the blonde godling was licking something on the ground. I thought at first it was shiny. As I came closer, though, I realized the positioning was wrong. Shiny was on that side of the alley. The only things on the side where she crouched were, my gorge rose, the dead order keepers. She looked up at me. Her eyes were the same as her hair, gold, mottled with irregular spots of darker color. I stared at her and suffered a pang of epiphany. When people looked at my eyes, was this what they saw? Ugliness that should have been beauty?
Flesh freely given, the godling said, and flashed me a hungry smile.
I skirted wide around her and moved back to Shiny's side.
You try me, Ori,
Madding said, shaking his head as I passed him.
You really do.
All I did was ask a question, I snapped, and crouched to examine Shiny. Gods knew what the Order Keepers had done to him, even before Sia's attack. I didn't let myself think about the bodies behind me and who had done that.
He was trying to keep you alive, replied Madding's lieutenant, the female one.
I ignored her, though she was probably right. I just didn't feel like admitting it. When I explored Shiny's face with my fingers, I discovered his mouth was cut, and someone had blacked his eye. It was swollen almost shut. Those wounds did not concern me. I felt my way to his ribs, trying to find the break. Something planted itself on my chest and shoved. Hard. Startled, I cried out, flying backward with such force that my back struck the far alley wall, knocking the sense out of me.
Ori! Ori!
Hands pulled at me. I blinked away stars and saw Madding crouched before me. I didn't realize at first what had happened. Then I saw Madding swing around, his face contorting with fury, at Shiny.
I'm all right, I said vaguely,
though I was not at all sure of this. Shiny had not been gentle. My head rang dully where the back of my skull had impacted stone. I let Madding help me to my feet, grateful for his support when the shining forms of him and the blonde woman blurred unpleasantly.
I'm all right,